Jeez, come on, wake up, Floose! It's your turn in that barrel again.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Yes, it is, too. Look, it's going to be April 9th, and you're due to pull another shining subgenius radio miracle out of your expansive butt.
Oh, joke's on you, evil Susie. It's not April. It's early May, and it's not my turn to do the show.
Jeez, guess again, Isadora, dumbass. It's still early April.
Your reality doesn't affect me.
Oh, yeah? Look at the TV. Nothing but dead Pope stuff on. Doesn't that tell you something?
No, that means nothing. Remember the last big papal lottery in the 70s and the new guy reported directly to his heavenly boss inside of a month? Oh, those old buggers go miter up in a clogged heartbeat. It just obviously happened again. It's May and it's not my turn.
Okay, well, I concede you got a point with the dead Pope stuff, but how do you figure that it's already May?
Oh, a lot you know. You're never the one who flips it. Calendar for daylight savings time. I always have to do it.
Oh, Bob, kill me. Oh, I got a lot of splaining to do. You later, after you finish the show.
Oh.
And I'll lay donuts and dildos that you're not done with a backwards masking show yet, are you?
Well, hey, I lost a month.
Oh, you're in luck, Toots, because of the new material you snagged from St. Byron Werner. You can actually do a highly improved, highly re-engineered version of Bob's Slack Time Funhouse number 208.
Oh, 208? I swore I'd never play that stuff ever again.
Yeah, so what are you planning on broadcasting? More of this? Unlock the tape vaults, evil Susie. Looks like I'm gonna get stuck pulling a few all-nighters.
Woohoo! Sweet.
The program you are about to hear, Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
You know who the king is?
Yeah.
Do you? Do you? Okay, we're going to talk about the king, but, you know, I've got a question first. Maybe you guys can help me with this question. And, you know, it's the king of what?
I don't know.
The king of what?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, if he was a king, he must have been king of something important, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have been king of something important. But the king of what?
King of kings.
You think so? Well, caring is pretty important. You think he could have been the king of caring?
He could have been the king of apples.
You think so? I don't know. Well, he didn't care very much about anything except being king, so he must not have been king of that. But you think maybe he was king of happiness?
Maybe.
Well, I don't know. Maybe so. But, you know, he really wasn't very happy. So he must not have been king of that. He must not have been king of happiness. So, I don't know. He was king of something, but king of what? I don't know.
So special and everything, and he's the best looking guy in the world. This is about my 28th concert since 1972.
That was means me a legend.
I'm so excited. I can't wait.
I really don't care.
I think we ought to kill him again.
You're kidding.
Kill him again.
Welcome, seekers, to the show that never ends. That's right. It's Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, and I'm your hunka-hunka-burning hostess, the Reverend Susie the Floozy. And tonight, we're taking care of business. We've got a special show winging its way to you all the way from the mystical vortex of Memphis, Tennessee, home of the greatest entertainer who ever lived, Miss Minnie Pearl.
Unfortunately, Minnie's as dead as Sonny Bono is right now, and she can't be with us tonight. But there is one man for whom death is no obstacle. A man whose ravenous appetite for fast food, flashy fashions, and fine home furnishings set the style in trailer parks the world over. A man who was so much bigger than life that he had to eat three Whoppers at a sitting just to keep up with his own legendary mythic stature. A smarmy, lip-curling, inbred bastard son of the South who set the world on its ear and then lived his life under a microscope where we watched in stunned disbelief as he degenerated before our very eyes into a parody of himself, and then into a parody of that. A man who, even after 20 years of death, is still pulling money out of his own butt. Hell, he's got my respect for that reason alone. So welcome to Disgraceland, Seekers, as we spend tonight's show saluting Elvis Presley.
A dreamy night.
Thank you very much.
I saw Mr. Presley in Hollywood.
a favorite one of mine.
Thank you very much.
I saw Mr. Presley tiptoeing through the tulips under the silvery moonlight. Oh, there he is. Oh, can that be him?
Why, I don't believe it.
Oh, yes, it is. I see. Through those lovely red tulips.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Wayne Newton. Now, I'd like to say that it's a pleasure to be here. And somebody told me that it is a new building or something, and I was the first person to perform here. Is that true? Yeah. I'll see y'all later. We're going to do a lot of songs, old ones, new ones, and hope it'll do something that you like. And we're here to entertain you, to make you happy. So just enjoy yourself and leave the driving to us.
Shoot a seven when they were shot in gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to my father. You know, he's been sick for a while, but he's doing very well. Would you say, Daddy?
You're dumb as a mule and twice as ugly. If a strange man offers you a ride, I say take it.
Now my heels are getting tire hot. Oh, my heels. Whoa, me.
This
man.
Is J-O-V. Take one.
Oh, Jo-V. Oof.
First records that I made, I mean, I recorded back in 1927, I think it was. More like this. I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. You know, someone said the world's a stage and each of us play a part. Play had me playing in plus tags. You read your lines so cleverly and never missed a cue. They came back too. You forgot the words. You seemed to change, you fool. You acted strange, and why, I never know. Why I ever did it. Honey, who am I talking to? You lied when you said you loved me. I had no cause to doubt you. But I think I'd rather go on hearing your lies. To go on living without you. And the stage is bare, and I'm standing there without any hair. If you won't come back to me, what the heck with you? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear. Are you lonesome tonight?
Hello, Scar.
All right. What's this?
J-O-V, take two.
Dating is a game that grown-ups play.
B.O.V. taking 11.
Bold.
When you are rubbish sale on some old lady's lawn, I got their kind of name. Almost everything she had was
talk of my beanbag chairs. Put the beaded curtains in the doorway. Yeah. Now to burn the candles in the sangria bottle. To let the wax drip down. I'll have a party in all the bottle of my friends.
We're talking about the king.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out the king of what? The king of what? I don't know. Well,
I don't know.
Maybe he was king of truth.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think you're
probably right. He hid away from the truth, you know. He hid in the dark from the truth, so he must not have been king of that. But king of what?
I don't know.
He must have been king of something. Maybe
I
he
don't
was.
Know.
Maybe he was king of love. That's pretty important. Well, he was king of something, and I think maybe it was something like love that felt like love. A lot of people get it confused with love, but what it is need.
Need.
King of need. I think that's what he was. I think he was the king of need. And I think he needed so much. He needed more than anybody else. He needed so much that he made himself a king. And I think that people needed him. And that's why they made him a king. And that's why he made himself a king. And I think everybody that's out there listening right now needs him a lot too. And I think they're going to make him the king. And they've already made him the king. And if they love him, then he'll always be a king. And he'll love them.
Jesus is our only king.
Not anymore.
The other day, my little boy, L. Dean, comes up to me on the porch, and he leaned against the washer, and he says, "Daddy, tell me about Jesus." Well, I said, "Jesus is the savior of Christians all over the world, L. Dean, and they call him King." L. Dean looked at me, and he said, I said, "Don't you me when it comes to Jesus. What do you mean, And he said, "Well, Daddy, I just got back from Four Steens and Jimmy News, and they said Elvis was the king." Well, I said, "L. Dean, you know there are some amazing similarities in the lives of Jesus and Elvis. How you take up their word Jesus? J-E-S-U-S.
Jesus.
It's got 5 letters in it. You take out the word Elvis. E-L-V-E-S.
Elvis.
It also has 5 letters in it. Now, is that unbelievable or what? You know, Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem in the freezing cold. It was 2 below. Elvis was born in a tar paper shack in Mississippi, also in Tupelo. Jesus was God's only son. Elvis recorded for son. Jesus performed miracles. Elvis performed hound dog. Jesus drove the money changers from the temple. Elvis drove the pink Cadillac in a Harley Davidson. Jesus said, "All ye who thirst, drink of me." Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. Elvis said, "Hey, everybody, drinks are on me." Jailhouse Rock, Paramount Pictures, 1957. Jesus said, "And a child shall lead them." Elvis said, "Bring unto me all the little children." Well, no, no, Michael Jackson said that.
Jesus
died at 33. Now, you double 33, you get 66. Subtract 25 from 66, you get 42. Believe it or not, Elvis died at 42. Jesus was crucified on Calvary. Elvis was crucified in Nashville at the Grand Ole Opry. Jesus died, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Elvis died, and by noon the next day, was seen at a Taco Bell, two Burger Kings, and a Shell station. So you see, Eldane Jesus and Elvis were both kings. Elvis was the king of rock and roll. But Jesus is the king of all mankind. And Eldane, the real difference between Jesus and Elvis is... Jesus lives. And Eldane, his power, his glory, and his love will endure forever.
You know, the stories about Elvis and his fans that you're going to hear tonight are true, too, Seekers. Insofar as the minds of the various players are concerned, at least. Because when you take the Elvis trip, Seekers, you'll find that we're through the looking glass here. And the frame of this mirror is the singularly most tasteless, chintzy, golden-crusted Louis the Sleaze teenth piece of crap I've seen since Tammy Faye Baker turned Heritage City, USA into a fundamentalist bordello. Oh, man, what egregious violations of home decorating. Who Elvis practically deified white trash hillbilly culture. Oh, from the Las Vegas whorehouse looks of the inside of it, Graceland should have had wheels. Oh, you know, Elvis did have his trailers close by, but that's something that they don't show you on the Graceland tours. Out behind the mansion, far enough away from the manicured grounds to be a sleazy little secret, Vernon Presley kept a clutch of redneck relatives and underpaid servants in a classic poor white trash trailer hive. And just like real-life Clampets, they kept a hog pen and some chickens out there, too. You know, just to kind of keep their hands in case the whole Elvis bubble went bust. They never did lose that fear. Because the story of Elvis is a classic rags-to-rigor fairy tale. He rose from hard-scrabble poverty to light up the world for grease monkeys and truck stop waitresses everywhere, and to die for their sins. And his eternal flame is carried on by such rabid fans that they rival those of Bob himself. For Elvis is our own American hillbilly Princess Diana. And hey, pretty soon, I betcha she'll be seen bellying up to the bar to Burger King in Dubuque and phone pranking on Gail Brewer Giorgio. Ah, Gail, now there's a case. She's a deluniac who maintains that Elvis is alive and hiding out in plain sight, posing as a masked country singer named Orion E. Darnell. A name and concept she claims was swiped from her own sci-fi meets rock and roll manuscript. Ooh, hold that thought. In the 7 years since I did this show, I've actually managed to come across some real Orion. Real or unreal, you can decide for yourselves.
This thing called love, well, I just can't handle it. This thing called love, I must get around to it. I ain't
jive. Shakes all over like a jellyfish, kinda like it. The crazy little thing called love. Cool sweat. I gotta be cool, relax, get hit, get on my tracks, take a back seat, hitchhike, take a long ride on my motorbike until I'm ready. There's a little thing called love. Backseat, hitchhike, take a long ride on my motorbike until I'm ready. Crazy little thing called love. This thing called love. I just can't handle it. This thing called love. I must get right to it. I ain't ready. Crazy little thing called love.
Ah, yes, Seekers, that was Orion. But you know, he sure wasn't Elvis. In real life, it turned out he was Jimmy Ellis. Even though Ellis is a little close to Elvis, it's not that far a stretch. Oh, he was doing the Elvis impersonation shtick, but he wasn't creating any ripples in the music world until 1979, when he picked up a book by the highly delusional Gale Brewer Giorgio called Orion, about a thinly disguised Elvis. Well, Jimmy picked up his phone and called Gale and told her, "This is Orion. Dig, I am the chosen one," in that Elvis voice of his, and the hysteria is on. For a couple years, Ellis had a career impersonating the dead Elvis, impersonating an Elvis impersonator. Oh, ow, that hurts to think about. Oh, he performed in a bejeweled Danger Woman-type mask, which he refused to take off, fueling the mad hopes of the libidinous flowers of Elvis-loving redneck womanhood that, yes, the king was immortal. Oh, yeah, immortality. Elvis may have had it, but Jimmy Ellis sure didn't. Because eventually, just a few years ago, in fact, he was shot during a holdup in the convenience store he owned. Oh, the man who would pretend to be Elvis would warble no more. Ah, but back to the show. Posing as a masked country singer named Orion E. Darnell, a name and concept she claims was swiped from her own sci-fi meets rock and roll manuscript before it was published. Oh, she was a tempting carrot, all right, because it turns out that when she wrote her book, The Most Incredible Elvis Presley Story Ever Told, around 1980, she was living up in Marietta, Georgia. Oh, I was trying to track her down before the show with no success, but sure did give me a weird little frisson. Man, between this and JonBenet and that creep Newt, my current turf is becoming the Oregon mystery spot of the East Coast. No wonder everyone's been walking at an angle lately. Anyhow, Gail is sure that Elvis is still alive out there, and she's sure that there's two of them running around, which there could have been if Jesse Garon Presley hadn't been slammed into a shoebox and buried in an unmarked grave. Which twin has the Tony? And which one was the evil twin? Oh, but if Elvis were alive today, Gail would probably be disappointed enough to find just one of them. He'd be 70 now.
And his nickname would probably be Hambone. Oh, and I can only begin to speculate on how the present-day Big E would try to do that old Elvis the Pelvis piss-shivers dance style of his while gripping his walker for dear life. Oh, but that's not Gail's version of things. Though to her, as to many of her fellows, Elvism is a polytheistic religion.
It was late at night, and I sat down to my Scrabble board. I could just feel these strange orbital vibrations that they were coming into my fingertips. I laid out these letters, one at a time, E-L-V-I-S. And then something happened. I heard this voice. It just came. Spell it backwards. Backwards. So I did. It was amazing, completely incredible. Right before me on my little wooden board, enlightenment. Elvis, spelled backwards, was civil. Civil. I was stunned. I reached down to touch these tiles. I needed to engrave this picture into my memory forever. And I swear to God, these tiles, they moved. The letters, they stayed the same, but they rearranged themselves. S became L, I and V stayed the same. L became E, E became S. It was clear right before me. E-L-V-I-S. Elvis lives. L-I-V-E-S. It's good. Right there on my Scrabble board. I mean, I'm sure you never realized that those five little letters can mean that much. But I feel blessed. Blessed that I was the one chosen to receive this message. Elvis is alive. Oh my God. I thought he was dead.
For her, Elvis is El Santo crossed with James Bond with a big slice of country fried Casanova. Oh, there is a touch of the superhero to Elvis. And no surprise when you realize that his classic 1970s Vegas look is straight out of the comic books. A second string Golden Age comic character named Captain Marvel Jr. provided the template for that heavily brocaded high-collared cape and sideburns look that he favored in his later years. Yes, Seekers, I still possess a yellowed newspaper clipping to that effect. Oh, but the similes don't end there. Elvis was also the Howard Hughes by way of Michael Jackson of popular music. A reclusive, death-obsessed madman rotting away in a rarefied world. A hypnotized puppet of the leprous, carny trash Colonel Tom Parker. Doomed to wallow in a suffocating kingdom. The mind-crushing boredom relieved only with a vacuous beauty queens, lots of firearms, and... the drugs. Oh, want to hear my Elvis impression? Yeah, Elvis is truly the polypharmaceutical prince of all time, making Judy Garland look like that piker Betty Ford. Oh, attaining that cosmic hamburger of success doomed him from the start. Surrounded with a battery of redneck sycophants and paid enablers, he went from being a rebel without a cause to being the second most reproduced character in history after Mickey Mouse. Oh, he became a man ideally suited to become a liquor decanter. Oh, man, I'd like to twist off the 1977 Elvis's head and take a long slug of what he's been having. Oh, but I wouldn't be able to do this show if I did. Or the next one. You know, Elvis once passed out in his beloved mashed potatoes and thickening gravy a la Greg Allman and was discovered in the Dr. Nick of Time by Linda Thompson, his next to the last beauty queen consort. Oh, but that sure didn't slow him down, as we'll see.
That's right, baby. Elvis lives in your mind and in your kitchen cupboards.
Elvis is alive. Here out.
I like the way a lot of time he sing, yeah. Dance. I say, and generally, the way he performed on stage. You know?
So you don't think he's really alive?
No, I think when a person is dead, they are really dead.
Snacks.
Hey, is it just me or am I picking up some negative vibes out there? Well, here's a positive vibe for you.
We all expected Elvis Presley to be about 12 feet tall with an aurora around his head and a fanfare, but of course it wasn't like that, and he was everything that everybody says he was, a very natural, quite shy sort of person.
Elvis is very important to me because I've been an Elvis fan for 20 years. There is so much in the guy. He is the biggest entertainer to me and the biggest to 1,000 others.
You, help me up on this stool or you're fired. Let's do one for everybody. Give me that tab. Feed me quickly. Free me fast. Food is what I need. Mayonnaise. Big old bacon fat. And a hit of speed. Feed me quickly. Feed me now. Feed me now. Feed me something big. A dozen jelly donuts. Maybe some orange popping on this tab. I eat like a pig. Buy me, wait, here we go. Buy me dressed in, oh, phenomet, feels like cement. Super anarchist, thank you very much. Give me contact and secrets. I'm starting to get pissed. You guys make me really mad when you make fun of my weight. I need Percodan. Don't you see? I need my doctor now. Prescription pills work best for me. Oh, Sam, I'm starting to come down. One more verse. I love women. Oh, I love their thighs. Women of all kinds. But if I see them on TV, I'll shoot them between the eyes. Give me that rifle.
Everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Now, if something should go wrong, let's not get the law involved. One hand washes the other. Ooh, that reminds me.
Booze, drugs, guns, lies, blackmail, and laughter.
practice.
Like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to
hold it.
Are meant some.
Hold it. Hot damn tamale.
Excuse me.
There's somebody downstairs.
Uh-oh, gee. When I left him, he was eating the frozen stuff in the freezer.
Oh, my.
I'm going to go see what he's doing now.
Edith, come back here.
Oh, honey, what is it?
He's eating the fruitcake.
The fruitcake? It's got to be...
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Elvis!
Well, I was sliding down the chimney. I got stuck.
I had to use the winch from my pickup truck.
Shut up. I had it through the living room. Started to eat.
He cleaned out all the houses up and down our street.
He's eating 16 turkeys and a dozen hams.
Don't forget six pumpkin pies and a bushel of yams.
Yeah, he's been through the bacon and he sucked down the lard.
Now I'm headed for the dog in your backyard.
Mama, Mama, he's chasing the dog.
Come here, you hound dog. Well, I've been gone 11 years, but now I'm back.
There ain't a locked refrigerator he can't crack.
I'm just getting started, but before I'm through, your town is gonna look like Kalamazoo.
So you'd better hide the children, you'd better hide the food, cause the king is back and he's one hungry dude.
I'm Elvis Aaron Presley, and I ain't dead.
Edith, dump this can of Crisco on his head.
Ow.
I think he likes it.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had some chicks, E-I-E-I-O. With a cluck cluck here, a cluck cluck there, loud as they could be. And when those chicks got out of line, chicken fricassee. With a cluck cluck here and a cluck cluck there, loud as they could be. And when those chicks got out of line, chicken fricassee. Hello, MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had some cows, E-I-E-I-O. With a moo-moo here, a moo-moo there, cattle everywhere. And when those cows got out of line, hamburger medium rare. With a moo-moo here, a moo-moo there, cattle everywhere. And when those cows got out of line, hamburger medium rare. Well, old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had some pigs, E-I-E-I-O. With a knock-knock here and a whack-knock there, pigs everywhere in sight. And when those pigs got out of line, pork and beans at night. With a knock-knock here and a whack-knock there, pigs everywhere in sight. And when those pigs got out of line, pork and beans at night. I'm gonna have a farm someday, E-I-E-I-O. And I'll do things MacDonald's way, E-I-E-I-O. With a cluck cluck here, a cluck cluck there, a moo-moo here, a moo-moo there, and a whack-knock here, and a whack-knock there. And I can promise you, those animals ever get out of line, we'll have a mulligan stew. So how about you?
Excuse me. Let's go. Okay.
And now, the love children of Elvis.
Well, I always knew from the day I was born, they said I was deformed, had a hair lip, but I sneered just like my daddy.
Well, that's me, baby. Your daddy.
And I tell no lies.
General Elijah and Elvis, you know.
See, my mama said he's coming home from the dead. Opened up the freezer and I saw his head, my daddy.
The king.
Our daddy.
Your daddy, baby.
Baby, don't you see there's more like you and me?
A couple thousand.
Elvis loved the ladies all around the world.
Maybe on other
but
planets.
Now he's back and he's so fat.
Wait, don't say that
to me. Christmas.
I'll shoot your television set out, baby, if you call me fat one more time. Now shut up and sit on my lap here. Just like your mama did 25 years ago.
Dress my sister up.
He put her in lace, down at his place, sent her to the store for some Polaroids. My daddy.
Stella, I used to love taking pictures of you and my Polaroids.
My daddy.
I'm everybody's daddy. There's a whole race of me that
my
live
daddy.
In Memphis, Tennessee, baby. And the year 2010, I first seen it in the crystals. And my whole race of family people will be living in the sewers.
Instead of Dunkin' Donuts, Elvis came in, asked for a dozen jelly donuts. It was amazing. It was like osmosis. You never even saw the jelly come out of the donut. All of a sudden, it was just like, I like 12 jelly donuts, please. And next thing you know, there were holes, and there was no jelly.
You know, he took me out. He took me fishing. We had a good time. He touched me in some very strange places. You know, then the colonel joined in.
Flash!
At 2:33 a.m., Elvis Aaron Presley, I repeat,
Elvis Aaron Presley was spotted coming out of the Elf Lodge.
Reports indicate that he is much larger than he was at death and reeked of alcohol.
Flash bulletin, occupants of the Northern Hemisphere.
Be on the lookout. The king has been spotted.
He's big. He's bad.
And he's wasted.
I wonder if you'll want some tonight. You know, someone said, the world's a stage, and each of us play a part. Play had me playing in plus tax. You read your lines so cleverly, and never missed a cue. They came back too. You forgot the words. You seemed to change, you fool. You acted strange, and why, I never know. Why I ever did it. Honey, who am I talking to? You lied when you said you loved me. I had no cause to doubt you. But I think go on hearing your lies. And you go on living without you. And the stage is bare. And I'm standing there without any hair. If you won't come back to me, what the heck with you? Is your heart feel pain?
Without saying, it caused him to empty his bowels.
We've got more good psychedelic hits coming up. Stay tuned.
Oh, this is the Big E reporting from the Elf Lodge or Burger King or something like that. Thank you very much.
Oh, Seekers, Elvis isn't dead. He just smells that way. And he really reeks after tonight's show. But it's no question about that, because some of the ingredients in it were pretty heady. Oh, we had big chunks of the residents from their masterwork, The King and I. That 2001 intro was from one of Elvis's concerts. The Dead Milkman told us to load up because we were going to Graceland, where Tiny Tim claimed that he saw Mr. Presley. And the residents were back with their stirring version of Viva Las Vegas. Oh, and there are little classic outtakes from Elvis in the studio and the real Elvis clowning on stage. Devo was there with Don't Be Cruel. That Are You Lonesome Tonight? Ooh, Seekers, I faked you out with a different live drugged version of that song that's an old familiar standby here at the Funhouse. And then the Pink Lincolns told us about stealing a Velvet Elvis. Shadow Shay explained the difference between Jesus and Elvis. And yes, the mysterious Orion was there with Crazy Little Thing Called Love. That Eating Elvis and the Elvis's Love Children's Chorus and other Elvesian comedy bits was by a late 80s pool of Atlanta voice talent known collectively as Cat's Paw. Oh yeah, and the Cramps, oh, they joined in with their rockin' and reelin' version of Heartbreak Hotel. And that was the real Elvis doing that Carnivore Killer's ballad of Old MacDonald. And Betsy Goodrich, I mean Danger Woman. Danger Woman was there with Jailhouse Rock. And Seekers. The sad truth of it is that because I had so much material from St. Byron Werner, well, I've got enough for another whole Elvis show, so it may come sliding down the pipes. It might be time to check out that book by Elvis's coroners and read you the passage about his choked colonic passage. Ooh, that's a good one. Oh, but until then, the Lymph Node Institute's going to be back in the house to do Bob Knows What to you. So look out, Seekers, and I might suggest a little lube. Good night.
Oh, my.